the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and today we're continuing with our study of the Gospel of Mark. Let me say it again, that in the next few months, perhaps up to a year, we will go almost verse by verse through the second Gospel, the Gospel of Mark of the Bible. You may want to ask your friends to come in and listen to this radio program. You may ask people who are not familiar with Christianity, people of other faith, to tune in to learn what the Bible teaches about the life of Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity. So tune in, I suggest, every week to this station and listen thoughtfully and prayerfully. And as I say prayerfully, why don't we just pray now? Heavenly Father, we pray you give us a new revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of this gospel. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Now let me repeat to you just a little of what I covered last week. Last week we were in the first verse of this gospel of Mark. I shared with you that the mark of this gospel is John Mark, who is mentioned several times in the book of Acts, that this Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. Barnabas is a man who introduced Saul of Tarsus to the church, or the Apostle Paul, to the church after he found the Lord on the Damascus Road. I also share with you there is strong consensus amongst all the early church fathers that the one who was really behind the Gospel of Mark is Peter the Apostle. So when we look at Mark's Gospel, we look at Peter's Gospel. Mark was only the instrument who wrote it down. Now let me review what I said about the first verse of this passage. It says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I share with you that this is the greatest beginning there ever was in all of human history when the gospel of Jesus was brought into the world. It came into the world when Jesus came. Jesus is the gospel of God. Now then, I told you that in the first verse, as you notice, we have three names for the Savior. Let me read this verse again, and so you pick up these three names that we have here for the Savior of humankind. Mark 1, verse 1, again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, do you see three names here in this first verse? First of all, there's the name Jesus, and that was given to our Lord by an angel who said to Mary, his mother, and to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Jesus means the Savior from our sins. That's the gospel again. That's the good news. There's now a Savior who delivers us from our sins. The second name that you find in the first verse is Christ. And Christ here means the Anointed One. Christ also is a title that corresponds to Messiah, the Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. It corresponds to the Messiah that the Jews had been waiting for hundreds of years. So we have the word Jesus, we have the word Christ, which means Messiah, and thirdly, we have the name the Son of God, also in the first verse. The Son of God means that this precious Savior, Jesus, was begotten of God, holy, pure, spotless, equipped to take upon him the sin of the world as the Lamb of God. So here our Lord was given three names, Jesus, Christ, and Son of God. Now then, we are ready to go on to the second verse, the third and the fourth verse of this gospel. It says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There you have it. So you notice here, if you look at this passage carefully, after Peter, through Mark, introduces Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, he introduces to us another person, and this person is called John the Baptist. And our text here tells us that the Old Testament prophesied that before the coming of Jesus, there would be a forerunner, there would be a herald of the coming of Jesus, who would prepare the way for people to receive Christ's salvation. And so in this passage, Mark gives us a reference to an Old Testament prophecy, which is found both in the book of Malachi and the book of Isaiah, saying, Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. One of the interesting aspects of Christianity is that it is a book of the fulfillment of dozens of prophecies which were made hundreds up to 2,000 years before the coming of the Lord, and hundreds of years before the coming of his forerunner, John the Baptist. When you look at all the other major religions, to the best of my knowledge, you will not notice a single prophecy given by any of their leaders. And of course, it's very dangerous to have a prophecy and then not to see it fulfilled, because that invalidates the one who made the prophecy. And the scriptures or the revelations that he had, so to speak, wipes the man out when he does not fulfill the prophecies he makes. He loses his credentials, so if anyone makes a prophecy and it does not come true, his credentials are gone. So making a prophecy is a dangerous business, isn't it? If I were to make a prophecy and it would not come true, I would be out of business. I would lose your trust. So when the Old Testament prophets gave prophecies, they, so to speak, were going out on the limb. They put their credibility on the line. Now let me go from this passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, to an Old Testament passage, because when this John the Baptist came, he came out of a wilderness to preach repentance, my friend. He was recognized as a fulfillment of prophecy, and Peter, through Mark, wrote in his gospel almost exactly the words we find in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Malachi. Here are the words from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, concerning the forerunner of Jesus. It says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God." Now, 700 years, you heard me right, after Isaiah the prophet gave this scripture, John the Baptist stood on the face of the earth as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have the Bible speak so accurately about things to come? Now then, who is this forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist? What do we know about him? John the Baptist was a son of a man called Zacharias, who was a priest. His wife's name was Elizabeth, and his birth was foretold, it was prophesied, when Elizabeth was in her old age and far beyond the age of childbearing. And Elizabeth was even barren in her young life. But the Lord prophesied that she would have a son in her old age, and so John was born. He was born 6 months before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. After he was raised, John the Baptist lived alone, or some believe, in the company of a few others in a barren region west of the Dead Sea. And his dress was that of woven camel's hair, and his food was locust and wild honey. It is shortly before Jesus came on the scene, when John came out of the wilderness and he began to preach repentance for the remission of sins, and great crowds began to gather around him with a great messianic expectation. And the message of this John the Baptist was repentance. And that's the only message that John the Baptist had. That's the only message necessary for us to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We must repent. If we don't repent, we will not receive the forgiveness, or, as it says here, the remission of our sins. Now let me read this text again for emphasis. Mark chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." How seriously should we take, my friend, this message of John the Baptist? Well, first of all, we should take it very serious, because he, John, is the fulfillment of prophecy. This ought to be good enough for us to get our attention and to realize that we must repent, and there's no other way for us to get to Jesus but by repentance. But secondly, we must take this message of John seriously, because John is the only person in the history of humankind who ever lived, who other than Jesus, lived and was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, that is, from birth on. Again, this was also the case with Jesus, but the difference between John the Baptist and Jesus is this. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that is, the seed of Jesus came from God. You see, the seed comes from the Father, and the seed of Jesus came from God the Father, and that is why Jesus, my friend, was born pure, holy, and without sin. In the case of John the Baptist, although he was filled from birth with the Holy Spirit, he was still born a sinner because he had both an earthly father and an earthly mother. But notice, again, he was born full of the Holy Spirit, and this is what Jesus said about him. He said, John the Baptist was the greatest man born of woman. Now, this, my friend, gives John the Baptist tremendous credibility, unequal to anyone in the Old Testament and the New Testament, excepting for Jesus, of course. This gives John the Baptist more credibility in what he had to say than Abraham or Moses or anyone outside of Jesus. And this tells us that John the Baptist had 20/20 vision, and he had the clearest revelation of anyone in his day as to who Jesus was and what it took for us to get to him and what it takes this very day. And it's obvious that all the apostles, when they saw Jesus, they considered him primarily at first to be the King of the Jews, a deliverer of the Jews from the Romans. But John said when he saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now then, having established this tremendous credibility of John the Baptist, we come to this teaching, and that is that we must repent. And there is no other way for us to receive the remission of sins in order to come to Jesus. I want to emphasize today, my friend, we have lost almost an entire century, the last century, because the predominant message of the last century was preached by the Church of Jesus Christ in America was, make a decision. Make a decision for Christ, and you'll be all right. And this is absolutely not the message that John the Baptist gave the church. He said, what you need to do is much more than make a decision. You need to repent. You need to forsake your wicked, your crooked ways. Give them up and make a 180-degree turn, beginning to do all that is right, holy, pure, and pleasing to the Lord. And if you're not willing to do that, then you don't repent, and you will not receive the remission of sins, and you will not have the Savior coming into your life. We simply cannot decision ourselves into Christianity, into the kingdom of God, because our ways are crooked. There must be willingness on our part to straighten out our ways by the grace and the help of the Lord. And this is found in the third chapter, or the third verse here, where we have this message. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. It means the path of men are crooked, they are deceitful, they are despicable, they are selfish, they are a disgrace to the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus the Savior. And my friend, let me tell you, unless America gets back to the preaching of repentance, until America gets back to the point where we, my friend, tell people there's no salvation without repentance, more of the judgment of God will come on our country. So the message of repentance was then picked up by Jesus himself. He continued to preach it after John left the scene of divine history. Because as we come to the 15th verse of Mark chapter 1, we have these words. Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And this is also brought out by the Great Commission, as it is given to us by Luke, where he says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, dear ones, today we learn about the absolute necessity of repentance. I am Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now, until then.